seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and the 8th verse. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. These were the desires of Agur, who means really Solomon. And the Lord had given him in his heart these fervent desires. There were three things in the text, aren't there, of real longing in the heart of the dear man. The first, remove far from me vanity and lies. What he was desiring really was the Lord would save him from all the sin there was, of every shape and every form. The Lord would remove it all from him. And I want us help just briefly to look at these three things this evening. And let us begin by looking in our own hearts. Are these three longings that are in our text the longings of each of our hearts? Do we truly pray like he did? Remove far from me vanity and lies. Why did he desire this? Well, because he solemnly realized, as taught by the Holy Spirit of God, that vanity and lies would bring him into complete bondage, and if he was left to die in them, would cast him into hell. And he desired the Lord would remove them. He says, remove far from me. He didn't just pray they may be removed, but they be removed far from him. And there may be some sins in your heart and pathway in life. You long for the Lord to remove them far from you. And really, you know, the Lord has wonderfully promised, hasn't he, to do this for his dear people. What did he say? As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy transgressions from before thee. And oh, what a wonderful favour that is, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west. You know, you can never measure that, can you? Man cannot. How far the east is from the west. And this is to be sweetly experienced by the Lord's dear children, the Lord removing them far from us. Vanity and lies. But You know, this is not the desire and longing of the world or the ungodly or those that know not the Lord, is it? Vanity and lies. We live in a solemn day where many just seem to love it. They don't pray like Solomon did here, that the Lord would remove it. So this is a wonderful, if this is in your heart and mind, this is a wonderful evidence that there is the work of grace in us, because the world don't desire. This is not the prayer of the ungodly. It's the prayer of an exercise, concerned child of God. And really, it's a prayer we need to pray every day, isn't it? And let us bring it right home close to, in a few ways. Firstly, what he was praying for here was the Lord to remove all the vanity, all those things that are vain. And let us begin with our own carnal mind. How vain are our thoughts, left to our carnal mind. The hymn writer desired it, didn't he? When vain thoughts be removed. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have good thoughts, isn't it? We tried to preach at Brighton on Sunday evening from those beautiful words of the dear apostle when he said to the Hebrews, thinking of the Lord's Supper, thinking of his death, consider him, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, what does that consideration really mean? It really means, putting it simply, good thinking. It's the thoughts and concerns of a real child of God to consider him. But oh, to have removed from us all vain thoughts. And look in your heart today and your mind today. How soon vain thoughts creep in, don't they? Or even while we're in the sanctuary. Some of the old preachers used to say, there's more work done while we sit in the sanctuary than there is the rest of the week, planning this or planning that. And we should be thinking upon him and his word. Vain thoughts. Remove them, Lord, from all these vain thoughts. And then we need him to remove from us all the things that are vain in our walk. Do we walk like the children of God? Do we act like the children of God? Because if everything that's not of the Lord is vain. Oh, it is. And this is why Solomon prayed, remove far from me vanity and lies. He realized how vain the things were in his life and in his thoughts. You look through the holy word of God concerning Solomon. We know the Lord wonderfully blessed him and in many ways, but you know there were times when he was left to himself. And he went after vain things. And this is why he had to pray this. If we know our own heart and the corruption there is in us, we long for the Lord to remove all that that's vain in us. All vanity. Because we cannot remove it ourselves, can we? No man can remove it. The Catholic priest may think they can remove the sins of this one and that one, or the Pope thinks he can, but he never can. It's only the Lord that can remove all that which is vain in us. So he prays, remove far from me. You notice how personal it is. Vanity and lies. And then, not just in our lives and our steps, in our walk, but in our conversation. How often our conversation is vain, isn't it? Why? Because it's of just of things of time or things of the earth or what we may have done or others may have done. You know, I was only thinking the other day of in my early days in the ministry, you know, so often the conversation after services was all upon what they'd heard and how the word had so suited the cases of his dear people. But how much do we hear today? It's about the weather or the state of the earth and so on. We could name many things. But oh, those vain things, you see, we need them removed from us. And Solomon realized, as I said earlier, that all these things were to bring him into bondage. And the Lord withdrew from him. You know, it's a solemn thing when the Lord withdraws from us. And he does. And when things that are vain occupy our minds, occupy our thoughts, occupy our conversation, occupy our work, our walk before the Lord and before his people and before the world. So this prayer is so needful, if nothing this evening, I preach it to myself, you see. It's so needful, isn't it? The Lord to remove it. Why? That we may be brought into a wealthy place spiritually. Our souls be filled with the love of Christ. Our souls have sweet communion with the Lord, fellowship with him, living near him, leaning upon him, trusting in him. But then, oh, do we not need the Lord to remove from us all the vain things of this world? We read in Hebrews, don't we? And I often pray it for our dear young people that the Lord would bring us into that reality of that precious word. But now they desire a better country that is in heaven. And oh, when that desire is in our hearts, you know, we won't want anything of this vain world, will we? Oh, you think every day we hear of things getting worse and worse. And we know it will be so because we are told it in the Word of God. But, oh, how we need to be lifted above it all and all vain things be removed. So he says, remove far from me. I would press that point home, far from me. Vanity and lies. You see, what Solomon desired here was the truth and nothing but the truth. What did Jesus say? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it is, what is that truth? It's Christ, you see. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When the Lord removes from us, and he will put this deep in our hearts, vanity and lies, all we shall want is truth. We don't want those things that are false, do we? But let us go further. When he said, remove from me vanity and lies, you think of the vain religions there are about today. The solemn delusions that many are under in vain religion. And Solomon realized that there was only one religion that would ever get him to heaven. And that was the religion that God was the author of, the finisher of, and that he would perform to the day of Jesus Christ. You see, if the Lord's in the beginning, he'll be with the child of God right the way through, and he'll be with them in the ending. Oh, he will. But oh, we need all that religion in us that's vain removed, don't we? It must be removed. One looks in one's own heart so often, I have to say to the Lord, Lord, how much have I got that's real? How much have I just grown up in religion? And grown accustomed to the language of God's dear people? You know, it's possible to speak the same language like Balaam did. You read in the book of Numbers how Balaam was and how the language he used, just like God's dear children. But you look at the end of that man. His end was vain. You see, these are solemn, searching things we would not set any soul down short, you see. Eternity is before us each, and this is what Solomon realized. This is why he wanted it all removed. All vanity. And all lies. So he says here, and may the Lord teach us to pray it. But then he goes further, and much further could be said on this first part. The second part of his longing and prayer was, give me neither poverty nor riches. He realized that both of these extremes could be dangerous. I remember my grandfather telling me that in his earlier days, he said that there was a man in one of our chapels that was exceedingly rich. And in the same chapel was a man that was exceedingly poor. And this man that was exceedingly rich, though he got so much of this earth's goods, was a very humble, tender man. It didn't mean anything to him, these riches. You think how Solomon was. The riches he had, and yet he prayed such a prayer as this. Now in that same chapel there was a man, as I've said, that was exceedingly poor. Now the exceedingly rich man, he had a gold watch and in his waistcoat pocket and a gold chain. It was to be admired, this gold watch and chain, and the poor man had a leather strap with a watch hanging on the end of it tucked in his top pocket. But you know, that poor man was more proud of his watch. He often said, he said, you know, I can't afford what the rich man has got. And he boasted of it, his poverty. And this is what Solomon meant, you see. May we not be left to boast of our poverty or boast of our riches, because that is a dangerous situation. You know, I often think about that. You know, what he prayed, give me neither poverty nor riches. You see, like in so many things, you know, to steer a course between. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. It's the same in religion. We're faced with it today. There are those that are extreme in religion, even in our denomination. And there are those that have let the world in on the other side. And they are dangerous courses. You think of the times the Lord Jesus spoke so against the Pharisees because of all their religion they and set themselves up above everybody else. But you look at those that were sunk in the world's pleasures and that, and how he spoke against them. There's a word that's so often been with me, and I've ever strove to try and live it out. And that is this: let your moderation be known unto all men. Yeah, it's a wonderful word, you know. And here you see Solomon realised the dangers of poverty. Give me neither poverty nor riches. What he saw, and many of us can declare it today to the honour and glory of God, the Lord was supplying every need that Solomon had. And he didn't want to be poor, left to poverty, and he didn't want to be exceedingly rich. We know the Lord wonderfully prospered him. But oh, may we be kept from these dangers. I often think of the hymn, you know, dangers of every shape and form. And oh, what dangers there are. And here the wise man Solomon realised, and this is why he prayed to the Lord this. He wasn't just declared to man, give me neither poverty nor riches. Well, may we lay these things solemnly to heart. You see, what we need is to be dependent. And this is where the child of God will be brought. Dependent upon the Lord for everything. That's a wonderful place, you know. Dependent upon him. You see, not leaning to one side or the other, but dependent upon the Lord. And of course, dear David, he could truly write of that, couldn't he? And speak of it, how dependent he was upon the Lord to supply his need in providence, and Solomon had to come to it too, and in grace. We often sing it, and it's a beautiful word, really. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. give me neither poverty nor riches. And he speaks of it in the verse following, doesn't he? He says, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You see, there's this danger of being poor, lest we should steal. And think about that spiritually. And this often concerns me. May we never be left to steal from the Word of God. Take a word just to suit it to ourselves. Solomon realised the danger of this, you see. And when we, like the poor, you hear of it so much today, they steal this or steal that because of their poverty, and they use the excuse of their poverty that they should steal. But that doesn't give any man license to steal, however poor they may be. And the same thing applies spiritually concerning God's holy word. He'll bring his dear people into need, as we want to look at in a moment just briefly, and he will supply that need. Oh, he will. The soul will have to depend upon him for everything. And then he speaks about it, doesn't he? About the riches. He said, lest I be full and deny thee. What a solemn situation to be in. Full of riches and yet denying the Lord. But then I just want to come to this last clause, because really this is the word the Lord dropped into my heart regarding the service this evening. Feed me with food convenient for me. The dear man Solomon here, what was he really asking the Lord for? He says, feed me with food convenient for me. The margin tells us our allowance. And you know, you can look at that in a few ways. First of all, you think about it naturally. We know in these days of plenty, it's not like it was in our forefathers' days, where they had to pray for the Lord to provide every meal for them. They were so dependent upon him. And they saw the wonders God alone can do, how he opened his hand and provided for them. That which he is the allowance that they were allowed. When we were sorting my mother's house out, we came across some old ration books that we used to have when I was a boy during the war and then after the war. And you know, it was allowed, they were allowed just this certain amount or that certain amount and nothing more. You see, we need the Lord to so speak his word and feed our souls with that which is convenient for us, the allowance he has given to us. And may we not be left to try and grab more and more of it. I know there is a right sense of the Lord blesses us, desire more of the blessing. Don't misunderstand me, because that is such the exercise of the child who wants the Lord favours you, say, Lord, give me more. More of thy presence, more of thy blessing. But may we not try and add to what he has given to us. Oh no. It's a solemn thing, you know, if the Lord gives us a real feeding time upon his word or upon the holy word of God as we read it and we feed on it. It's nourishment to our souls to take something of ourselves to put to it. Because what will that do? It'll mar the blessing. If I know anything about it at all. He says here, feed me. Oh, what a good desire that is, isn't it? Feed me with food convenient for me. Well, if we've got a real religion, each of us here tonight, we shall need heavenly food. As we need food naturally to sustain our bodies, so the soul of the child of God needs heavenly food to sustain their souls. And it must come from heaven. So this is a good prayer, feed me. Lord, it's me, I need those crumbs from the Master's table. I need thee to feed me. You see, there's a real partaking of the word, isn't it? Feed me. It's like a little child, it cries when it's breakfast time comes or it's dinner time or tea time. It cries, it needs food. And it's not satisfied until it receives that food. And so it is spiritually with the child of God. That little babe cannot feed itself, can it? But its loving mother or parent will feed it. And so the Lord will feed his dear children. And that little babe has to be fed with food convenient for it. The apostle did speak of this, didn't he? About the babe desiring the milk of the breast. Or a strong man needeth meat. It's no use giving the babe strong meat, is it? Feed me with food convenient for me. Well, it comes to me like this. If you are longing for mercy, poor soul, you'll want that crumb of mercy to come to your poor heart and that'll feed you. Like it did the publican. If you are longing for a word of direction, when the Lord is pleased to give it to you, it'll be food to your soul. It's convenient to you because it's just what your soul needs and just what you need for the pathway. Or it may be you need a word of confirmation, you see. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord confirms us in our souls, in a matter, it may be regarding following him, it may be regarding a step in providence. And when the Lord gives it, we can feed on it. It's so convenient to us, isn't it? It's just what we need. Feed me with food convenient for me. And we need it continually, don't we? And only the Lord can supply it. And when you need a word of confirmation, oh, you think how the Lord confirmed to dear Peter that he must go to Cornelius' house and preach to them a precious Jesus and Oh, how the Lord confirmed it to him on that housetop in Joppa. And the word was a feeding word and convenient to him. Feed me with food convenient for me. Just what I need, Lord. A token for good, a visit from thyself, a blessing indeed. You know, what was to satisfy dear old Jacob when he was faced with Esau's 400 men against him? It was the Lord to bless him there. But you look how low the dear man had to come, and but how convenient the blessing was. And it was personal, wasn't it? You see, our text is full of personal things. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. You see, that little word me is named those four times, isn't it? Beautifully. In this text, it's me, Lord. I long for the blessing. I need that token from heaven. I need that food that's divine. It's me, Lord. This doesn't mean to say you're selfish and don't desire it for others. You do. But you need it personally for yourself. And when the Lord gives it to you personally, you'll say, Lord, give it to others too. Fill them with the blessing. Open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing upon them. You'll long for it, for each one, and those of us that try and pray for this one and that, we long for the Lord to do it, you see. Well, I've scratched around the surface, the time has gone, but may the Holy Spirit so bring home to us the realities there are in this word. Amen.